The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity comes from Genesis, the first and second chapters. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us confess the faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
From Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you have visited him? In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. This has certainly been a hard week for our country, and on March the 8th, in my sermon, I mentioned the four horsemen that John saw in his revelation looking at the end times of this world, and it particularly focused on the pale or the green horse, the one who brought death with pestilence and sword. We've seen the pestilence, and now we've seen the sword. Injustices that have triggered more injustices, hate that begets more hatred. We hear the voices and see the actions of rage and ruin. And as the song goes on, I see a bad moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. That song was released in 1969. 1 year before that, in 1968, at about the same time, Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. Riots erupted all over the United States. Many people are comparing the riots of today with the riots of 1968. Some say those of 68 were worse. I remember it a little bit because I was 10 years old at the time. And I remember as a student at Trinity Lutheran School in Indianapolis, Trinity was a church that had two locations. One location was downtown. It was really one of the old mother churches of Indianapolis. But they had built a new church out in the suburbs. So in my school, it was a mixture of city kids and suburban kids. One of my best friends was an African-American boy by the name of Mylon Johnson. And I remember my father taking me down to his neighborhood and to play with him. I remember also my parents talking to me about these race riots and about racism in general. What I remember most about those talks was it was not so much about people's color as it was about the problem and the evil of hatred. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, how, with God's help, we can avoid that vortex of rage and ruin. It should come to no surprise to anyone who reads the Bible that these things happen. Racism, hatred, riots, wars. These are the things that happen in a world that forgets God and turns against Him. We read it immediately in the Bible as sin entered into the world, so did all of these kinds of troubles. Genesis chapter 4 in particular shows us this progression from the very first family, which two brothers, Cain and Abel, didn't get along. Well, at least Abel wasn't doing anything to provoke what was about to happen. But Cain, in his jealousy and in his hatred, rose up against his brother and killed him. God had warned him about this and told him that sin lies at your door and you must rule over it. Well, by the end of Genesis chapter 4, we get to angry, angry Lamech. Lamech said that anyone lays a hand on me and I will avenge him 77-fold. It is a terrible mistake that the world so often makes to assume that the root of evil is not in every single heart of every single human being. And so the world fosters the rage and riot by blaming. And we see the hypocrisy of it. Those who excuse the rioting are no better than those who excuse the police brutality. It all works together in a very bad way. And the God deniers stubbornly refuse to admit to their own sin. And therefore they rant and they rave. And they get sucked into the Cain and Lamech vortex, while all along Satan rejoices. We too know that we can be drawn into that ourselves as well. And we know there must be something better than all of that. There's got to be a better solution. I ran across a sermon by the Methodist pastor William Watkinson, who died in 1925. He was dealing with some of these same societal issues, especially the issues of hatred. And in his sermon titled, "The Invincible Strategy," which, by the way, I'm going to attach to my printed version of this sermon. You might want to take a look at that on your own. But in that sermon, "The Invincible Strategy," Watkinson says this: denunciatory rhetoric is so much easier and cheaper than good works and provides a popular temptation. Yet it is far better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Watkinson's got that thought from Romans chapter 12, verse 21, where St. Paul says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The question before all Christians is, how do we light that candle rather than curse the darkness? How do we overcome sin that lies at our door? How do we live the life that glorifies God and realizes His blessings rather than getting drawn into that whirlpool of hatred and destruction? Psalm 8 is helpful. For those of you who may have joined us as visitors worshiping in the parking lot, I hope it doesn't come as a big surprise to you that as we move inside here, we've come back to our regular practice of singing the Psalms. I know it's a little unusual. It's not the normal way people sing songs, but singing Psalms is part of the Bible. Jesus and his disciples sang the Psalms. Paul and his friends and associates sang the Psalms. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul said that we are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to God. Well, this is the beginning of our overcoming that problem, systemic problem of hatred. In Psalm 8, we begin with this refrain that we saw, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, how majestic," it also might be translated, "who have set your glory above the heavens." When you hear someone in the Bible talking about the name of the Lord, the name of God, you should immediately think of everything you can of God, of His works and His words. It is like a letter that you've received with all kinds of tremendous descriptions of things God has done, is doing, and will do. But all of that would be meaningless unless you got to the end of the letter and you saw who it is signed by God. You see, His name is the beginning of His relationship with us. His name captures all that He is and all that He does for us. This is Trinity Sunday. And so our emphasis is on the name of the Lord and everything else that follows behind that name. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one of the best ways to try to get a handle on the fullness of God in His goodness, in His greatness, in His majesty, and above all, in His salvation. That's why the name of God and the Word of God is so important. Even when it is in the mouth of a babe, David tells us, it is stronger than all the evils of the world. David goes on in the psalm and he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Well, this is the problem of the world. When you look at that from outer space at this beautiful place we call planet Earth, and when you look around at all nature, the moon, the stars, the plants, the animals, and all of that, you cannot deny its beauty and the way it glorifies God and reflects all of His goodness. But then there is this part of the creation that is at times quite ugly. That part is you and me. That part is humanity. And yet God is, as David says, mindful of him. He remembers him. He thinks about him and he cares about him. What is man? We are ugly. We often live in hatred and sin. And there are those who go even further in their racism and riots. And it may be the politicians. It may be the pundits. It may be all sorts of people who simply do not glorify God, but rather glorifying themselves, only perpetuate the rage and ruin of the world around us. And the real essence of hatred is giving up on people. And the real essence of love is not giving up. And this is God's word to us, that He does not give up to human being, doesn't give up on human beings, of you or of me. So then he goes on to say that you visit him. And that's a beautiful and powerful word in the Bible. Jesus came into this world. He visited. He became part of this world. And that's what changed everything. When the world tries to solve its problems without God and without God's grace and without God's forgiveness, it is simply reduced to an argument, you are more guilty than I am. And that is an argument that's going to go nowhere. An argument that could never be solved or resolved in any way. Only the one who was not guilty, only Jesus, who came to bring salvation through the forgiveness of sins with His life and His death and His resurrection, can overcome all of this. As Zechariah said about the birth of his son John the Baptizer, who would prepare the way for Jesus, he said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." So how can we light this candle? We can do so by what you're doing right now in church. I like to say that in this worship service and in all of our worship services, we are actually praising God to prevail over evil. We light the candle by remembering God, listening to His Word, and knowing how He remembers us. We remember God by considering where it all begins with His name, but not stopping there, continuing in our study and meditation upon all of it. And not just the words, nouns, verbs, and adjectives of the Hebrew and Greek Bible and English translations, but the works of God. The song in 1968 and 69 talked about a bad moon rising. That's a sad and real reflection of humanity. But the Bible and the world around us itself always portrays in the moon, the stars, the sun, and everything God has made, the goodness and the glory and the greatness of God. How do we avoid being drawn into that vortex of hatred? How do we light that candle rather than curse the darkness? We do so by looking up above the troubles of this world to the Lord who made this world, to the Lord who sent His Son to die for this world, to the Lord who sends his Holy Spirit, who gives us these words of life and salvation before us right now, that leads us in repentance and leads us in prayer and leads us to the good that God wills, the good that can overcome the evils of this world. God, help us with this. God, bless us with this. In Jesus' name, amen.